Does the First Amendment protect clubs that are dedicated to the pro-life issue on public school campuses, high schools, for example? Well, we're going to talk about that right now with Jocelyn Floyd, who is special counsel. She is an attorney with the Thomas More Society, and there's a case out of Pennsylvania that we're going to discuss right now. Jocelyn, welcome back to Vocal Point. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Why don't you start with a constitutional perspective on the First Amendment? It seems to me in these days where there's so much anti-Christian discrimination, a lot of liberals are basically saying, well, the First Amendment applies to us, but not to you because we don't like your speech.
Yeah, and that's especially ironic because the purpose of the First Amendment is to protect the speech that other people don't like. The speech that people like, the popular stuff, it doesn't need to be protected because the society protects it by asking for more of it. It's the stuff that people don't like, the ideas that bother them, the things that offend them. Those are what need the protection of the First Amendment, and that's exactly why we have the First Amendment. It's to make sure that all ideas are able to be expressed by the people who have them. And then their listeners can make their own judgments as to whether that idea has any value or any merit.
One group that we as Christians would disagree with, they claim to be Christians, but they have that God hates fags type of messages. And so for the Westboro Baptist Church, I think their founder even has since died and gone on to his reward or his punishment, whatever. But anyway, here's the bottom line. The Supreme Court heard a case about them, and it's my understanding that they, even as noxious and obnoxious as their message is, they said, but it still is protected by the First Amendment. Can you comment on that briefly, and then we'll get right into the Pennsylvania case?
Yes, I believe that case was where the Westboro Baptist Church was protesting outside of military funerals.
Yes, that's
all
right.
Of their atrocious signs. Mm-hmm. And the court said that that is legal. There's no special protection for the family of a military member at their funeral to be able to censor this other speech. And the beautiful thing about what has happened there is you have these other organizations, other people who have stepped up to make sure that they can protect the families of these military members, mm-hmm. while also not silencing or censoring the speech of the Westboro Baptist Church. And they will line the streets. They actually have these large angel wings that they will wear to block the view so that the grieving family members don't have to see it. But the speech itself isn't censored. No one has taken their signs away or forbidden them to use them.
Okay. Allentown, Pennsylvania. Tell us about Parkland High School.
Parkland High School has, I don't even know how many clubs, and we have two students.
Okay, you were breaking up. You say that one part again. We have two what?
We have two students, Elizabeth and Grace, who went to their administration last fall to try to get a pro-life club approved. They ran into some obstacles along the way and got some mixed answers from the administration and finally were able to turn in a formal club proposal in March. They had a meeting with their administrator who just simply told them, no, the club will be denied. It's too political. It's too controversial. End of story.
Hmm. What about the Equal Access Act, which, by the way, was, speaking of the U.S. Supreme Court, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court?
That's exactly what we go to first in these cases. The Equal Access Act was specifically put in place to protect religious clubs at a time when schools were saying this would violate the Establishment Clause. But it protects more than just religious clubs. It protects all clubs, no matter what their topic is, no matter how controversial or political it is. As long as the school has other clubs, they have to allow the controversial ones, the political ones, the religious ones, on an equal basis.
Hmm. Okay.
The school has many, many non-curriculum related clubs. So they have absolutely opened up this forum for clubs. And because they have done that, they cannot say no to a pro-life club simply on the basis of the message of the club.
What is a pro-life club?
What do you mean?
Well, in other words, what kind of meetings would they have in the pro-life clubs? And I understand, by the way, there are hundreds of these pro-life clubs around in different high schools. And you and I have even discussed in the past on this radio program some of the discrimination some of these clubs have experienced. I remember there was one in South Dakota, I believe, and you all were very successful in getting that discrimination to stop. But what do they actually do in these pro-life clubs? Explain its kind of purpose and format, if you will.
Well, every club is unique because they are student-led and student-driven. So each group of students will have their own take on what they want to do. But generally, these clubs will hold meetings, and at the meetings, they will have discussions on various issues of pro-life messages or topics. So they will talk about the science of the pregnancy process, the growth of the baby before it's born, at what point various parts of the body are developed. They will talk about pro-life apologetics, how to engage other people on this topic in winsome ways, how to address the hard questions you might get from other people who aren't already on your side. They will also conduct fundraisers and support local pregnancy resource centers. This club is also looking at holding what they call a memorial service outside of a local abortion clinic, where they would have a group of students go and spend some time in silent contemplation and prayer outside of the abortion clinic on the sidewalk.
What's important, too, I think, is the fact that these clubs can possibly save babies, because here you have peers appealing to other peers so that they won't fall into the deception and, you know, some young girl have an abortion thinking, oh, this is going to take care of my problem of my pregnancy, and boom, there'll be no implications for this. And yet many, many times people feel terribly guilty after an abortion, and they didn't expect to. That wasn't something they planned on.
Yet the abortion industry says that it's a minor procedure and there's no lasting consequences from it. But through empirical evidence that we've seen over the years, there are medical consequences physically, but there's also a lot of emotional consequences. And even women who weren't forced into it or weren't debating back and forth and really unsure of what they were doing, even the ones who went into it no worries at all, have reported that they've had emotional trauma from the event, some of them even as extreme as full-blown PTSD. So that's one of the things the pro-life clubs want to do is have that information available, because it's not talked about, to let these teenagers who might be facing a crisis pregnancy know that this escape option is not really the escape that it's made out to be. But then also to let them know and educate them about the various resources that are there to help them. If they're afraid about how they will provide for this baby, there's pregnancy resource centers that will help them get formula and get diapers and help them navigate all of the obstacles and mazes when it comes to being pregnant as they go to college or having a baby on a college campus. The truth is that there is help out there, but a lot of people don't know. It's not just they don't know where to go. They don't know that it exists.
That's excellent. So this kind of thing can help provide that kind of visibility. Now, I understand at the school, it does permit, of course, other clubs, as you've already mentioned, but some of those clubs include the Gay Straight Alliance, the Political Science Club, and the Fashion Club, and yet the Pro-Life Club is being denied so far because it's too controversial and too political. Your comments?
Yes, they have many, many clubs, and we select those examples to show that they already have controversial and political clubs. They have a political science club. How much more political can you get than an entire club devoted to the political process.
Yeah.
And then a Gay Straight Alliance, they've become more commonplace at high schools around the country, but they still represent a very divisive and controversial topic in our culture. And the school knows that they have to allow those because the case law says that. What the schools don't always understand is that the case law that came about as a result of Gay Straight Alliances fighting for their rights to be on campus protects the pro-life clubs just as much as it protects the Gay Straight Alliances.
Okay, one of the young girls that you're fighting for on, you know, for her First Amendment rights with this pro-life club controversy, Elizabeth Castro, she made an interesting point. She said that basically abortion is the greatest human rights social injustice of our time, and yet most people wouldn't even think of it in those terms at all.
I think we forget how massive the issue is. I was looking at an article yesterday that said every year 1 million babies in America are aborted and 3 to 4 million babies are born, which means that between 20 and 25% of all our babies never get born. That's a huge chunk of our population, of each generation. Those are people. Those are people who no longer exist. And for no good reason. These aren't babies who were naturally miscarried. These aren't babies who, died on their own. Those are obviously very sad circumstances themselves, but these are babies that were thrown away. And when you think of all of the social justice movements and equality and fairness, and all of it comes down to the first primary question is, do you have the right to be alive?
Yeah.
And the pro-life movement says, yes, every single individual person has the right to be alive. All of the rest of the social justice, equality, questions, jobs, education, money, status, all of that is secondary, because if you're not alive, none of that matters.
Yeah.
So this is the largest social justice issue of our time, but we don't think of it that way because it's always presented by the media and by the academia as the women's right issue, the mothers, their right, their social justice right to be able to go forward in their careers or their lives without the quote-unquote burden of a child.
Plus, it's always hidden in terms of what actually happens. I mean, if there was a window to the womb, it might change a lot more minds in this country. But, you know, it's interesting what you were saying about the right to life being the greatest right of all, and here our Constitution is predicated on the Declaration of Independence, and the Declaration of Independence says, of course, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. These cannot be taken away by the government. They should not be deprived of us. And the first one listed is the right to life. So you're absolutely right. We have about a minute to wrap up. What do you want to say about this? I do want to ask you this. You personally and your organization, Thomas More Society, thomasmoresociety.org for more information, have gone into court over these issues, or you've gone into the court of public opinion. You've fired off letters. You've met with the attorneys of the school boards and so forth. Have you ever lost a case related to this pro-life, these pro-life clubs that want to, establish on a high school campus?
No, we haven't. So far, we have been able to successfully resolve every situation and ensure that these students are able to have their clubs on the campuses of their public schools. And I think that's something that is incredible. To have that kind of a success rate as a lawyer is not a standard thing. But in this area, it just shows you how clear the law is and how wrong these schools are to be censoring these students. And it's something that schools should be waking up and taking notice of, that regardless of the fear that they might have of backlash from the community, the law says they have to allow these clubs. And they need to get their acts together and start allowing these clubs. And they have the best defense to any backlash. We are obligated by law to have these clubs. And if people don't like it, they need to make the effort to change the law, which I don't think is the best response. But the law right now absolutely, clearly, unequivocally protects these students' rights to form and run these clubs.
Jocelyn Floyd, ThomasMoreSociety.org for more information. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.